Well, I'm thankful to be here once again this morning. Thankful to be able to share some more of the Word of the Lord. I find it to be a gospel of hope. I don't know the condition or the place that everybody is in this morning, but the Lord does, and I know that the Lord is a turnaround specialist. The Lord is able to take wherever we are, wherever we've been, and He's able to put us into a better place. And what He asks of us is that we would be willing and obedient. That we would be willing to trust Him and to follow Him in every way. I have a message this morning I believe will be an encouraging message. I'd like to read out of the 17th chapter of Luke. Luke 17. And we'll start in the 11th verse and read maybe four verses. It said, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." My message this morning is, as they went. I notice here at the start of this little... Now, this wasn't a parable. This actually happened. I noticed that at the very beginning of this, it said that the men stood afar off. You know why they had to stand afar off? It was because they had a condition in their body that kept them from... They weren't supposed to get close to other people. But they saw Jesus out there, and with the condition that they had, it said they lifted up their voices and called out to Him so that He could hear them. Now, this isn't my message this morning, but I'd like to start with this. Sometimes there are places that we feel like we have in our lives that keep us from feeling like we can get close to Jesus because there's things in our lives that aren't like Jesus. But I would encourage all of us this morning to do what these men did. Lift up your voice and call out to the Lord. Because the Lord will hear your voice. And there isn't anything in your life that the Lord would look at and say, "No, I can't talk with you. You got this in your life." The Lord wants us to lift up our voices to Him. Wherever we are, for whatever reason we find ourselves in those places, and the Lord will hear our voice. Now, here's what I am challenged with this morning in this verse. It said that the Lord told them to go show themselves unto the priests. See, they were lepers. And He said, "Well, go show yourselves unto the priests." Why did He say, "Go show yourself unto the priests"? What was the purpose of that? It was the only reason, really, one of the very few reasons why they would do that, is because the priest had to say that they were cleansed before they could go be with other people. That was their first stop. But what stands out about this was they were still lepers when they took off to go to the priest. You ever notice that? You know, if these lepers would have said, "Well, as soon as we're healed, then maybe we'll go to the priest." But that's not what happened here. It said that as they went, they were cleansed. Isn't that what it said? You know, too often we say things like, "Well, as soon as I see, as soon as I experience, as soon as it becomes a feeling that maybe I have in me that it's come to pass, then I'll believe, then I'll go, then I'll accept." But the Word of the Lord is that we would arise, that we would go, that we would possess the land when the Word of the Lord comes and says go. You know, I'm glad that Joshua didn't wait until he had a full set of plans on exactly how he was going to conquer every place that he went to in Canaan. You know, if he did that, I'm sure that there had been a lot of places he wasn't able to conquer. But the word of the Lord came and said, "Arise." That's what he started out telling Joshua. "Arise, my servant Moses is dead. Now it's your turn." He said, "Go, I have much land for you to possess." And you know what Joshua did? He didn't say, "Well, Lord, how exactly am I going to get that land? It just seems impossible to me that I would be able to do that. When you reveal that to me, Lord, then I'll get up." But that's not what Joshua did. Joshua got up and he went and he possessed much land. When the Lord comes to us and He says, "Whom shall I send and whom will go with us?" Did you know that the Lord doesn't want us to say, "Well, Lord, just exactly where do you want me to go? Well, just exactly where are you going to send me?" You know, sometimes people, have you ever asked somebody, "Hey, will you do me a favor?" Have you ever asked that before? You know, there's different ways of answering that question. Sometimes people say, "Well, what is it that you want me to do?" There's that response. And then sometimes you'll say, "Could you do something for me?" And there's some people that say, "Absolutely. What is it that you want me to do?" See, there's two different ways of responding to that. How do we respond to the Lord? When the Lord comes along and says, "Hey, I have something for you to do." Do we say, "Well, what is it? Let me evaluate it first and see if it's something that I feel like I might be able to do." God wants us to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll go. Where is it that you want me to go?" Sometimes we say, "Well, Lord, I'll respond when you bless and reveal." And the Lord says, "I'll bless and reveal when you respond." He's the Creator. He's God. You know, it seems like we live in a time where we want to know all of the ins and outs before we respond. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to know and doing our due diligence. God wants us to have convictions. You know that? He doesn't want us to just to be a people where we wind ourselves up or somebody else winds us up, points us in the direction that we're supposed to go, and then off we go. That's not what God's looking for. He wants us to be a people that have personal convictions inside. That I'm doing this because I want to do this. And I'm doing this for these reasons, A, B, and C. I remember when I was in college and I got into a discussion with somebody, a spiritual discussion, and I remember it so clearly. He just stopped me cold. And he said, "I want to ask you a question." He said, Do you believe this because you yourself believe this, or is this just something your church teaches?" And I said, "I believe this for myself." And he said, "Okay," and he was ready to proceed. It means something to have personal convictions. But it also means something that when God comes along and says, "This is the way, walk ye in it," that's good enough. See, that's a good enough reason when it's God that comes along and says that. Say, "Why are you going that way?" "Well, because God told me to go that way." And then sometimes He will reveal to us more, give us more light as we go in faith. I think sometimes that we live beneath our privileges because we stand back and we don't step out into the water enough. And the Lord's back there saying, "If you'll step into the water, I'll part the water so that you'll have a way to go." But we sit back there and we wait for the water to part. And the Lord's saying, "Step in." This morning, be encouraged to step into the water. Be encouraged that if the Lord says, "This is the way, walk ye in it," trust Him. He's God. He knows how to make a way. He wants us to step out in faith. Sometimes we sit on the side and we dangle our legs, our feet in spiritual waters, and we say, When my chest and my arms acclimate, then I'll jump in. But we just have our feet in the water. Your chest and your arms aren't going to acclimate until you jump in. Sometimes we've got one hand on the way of the Lord and one hand on some other way that we think is a good backup plan. And then we wonder why we never have victory. We wonder why we aren't blessed like we want to be blessed. It's because the Lord wants us to say, I believe in you, Lord. I'll go. I'm committed to this way. I think about when Paul was on the voyage as a prisoner, captive, and you remember things started to go wrong. Well, it was going right, but it seemed like it was going wrong for a lot of them. And the boat started rocking pretty bad. And the captors started looking at the lifeboats. Remember the lifeboats that were hanging? And they were getting ready to use an alternative mode of transportation. And Paul said, better not do that. He was a captive. They somehow recognized he had God or something in him. They respected him. He said, I wouldn't do that. He said, if we don't all stay together, there's going to be trouble. And do you know what the men did? This was the captors, not the captives. They cut the ropes to the lifeboats so that they wouldn't use them, so that they wouldn't be tempted to use them. They just cut them away from the ship and let them go. That's called commitment. See, they made a decision. Oh, this is the way we need to go? Listening to the voice of the Lord through one of their captors, they just cut it loose and said, okay, I'm committed. This is the way that we're going to go. And as they went that way, the Lord delivered. They didn't necessarily understand how that was going to work, but as they went, the Lord delivered. I think about Naaman. You remember Naaman, the story of Naaman. And the word of the Lord came to Naaman and said, if you want to be cleansed, go dip into the Jordan how many times? Was it five times? Four times? How many was it? Seven times. You think that was just on accident that the Lord said seven times? I don't know. I don't think it was. You know, it seemed like seven is always a representation of a completeness. He wanted him to go and completely humble himself, I think. I think he wanted him to go and completely be obedient. I think he wanted him to go and be completely committed. You know, sometimes we dabble in, like I said a few minutes ago, part way. I'll dip in once or twice, but if I don't get what I think I'm supposed to get, I'm headed back to my security, you know, secondary backup plan. I'm going to hit the lifeboats. But when you dip seven times, you're committed. As Naaman did that, as he went ahead and obeyed, even though he didn't understand it, even though he was the captain and everybody is watching him down there dipping in this muddy river, some of them were probably saying, I wouldn't do that. There was one of them that said, why don't you do that? If he had asked you to do some difficult thing, you would have done that. Something simple, just do it. Follow the word of the Lord. You can do this. That's what the Lord does. He doesn't ask us to do things that are impossible. He comes along and he says, he invites us to a way that all of us can do. It's doable. He just wants us to do it. He just wants us to obey. He just wants us to trust. He just wants us to humble ourselves and say, I'll do it, Lord. And as Naaman did that, as he went and obeyed, he was healed. Just like that. The Scripture says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. When the Lord comes and He says, hey, come this way, He's big enough to trust. You can follow Him and be rest assured He's going to take care of you. And it'll prove out for you that He'll bless you as you go in faith. The Scripture in Hebrews, and Brother Shane brought it out a little bit this morning, talking about Noah, the Scripture said that by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things seen? No. It said of things not seen. It said he moved with fear and built an ark to the saving of his family. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen. And then it was brought out. He gave his whole life to following after having faith in something that he had never seen rain before. It had never flooded before. And yet, he believed the Word of God and he went that way regardless of what it looked like. If he had sat around and said, well, Lord, when it starts raining and I understand what rain looks like, then I'll start building a boat. He'd have been about 100 years late building his boat. Wouldn't have worked. Sometimes we get into a lot of trouble sometimes, saints, and we say, Lord, how did you let me get here? And he said, I tried to warn you a long time ago that you ought to do something different. I told you which way to go, and you didn't understand it. You didn't see it. So you just stayed right where you were, and now it's starting to rain, and you don't have a shelter. The Lord just wants us to believe, even if you don't understand all of it. Be willing to go that way. The Scripture started talking about Abraham. By faith, Abraham. Let's just get that. Hebrews 11 and 8. We have a lot of examples that give good instruction in this area. Hebrews 11 and 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should go after, receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, what? Not knowing whether it was he was going. How often do we do that? In today's age, how often do we do that? We like to sit back in our chairs at home, in the comfort of our home, and the Lord says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we sit back and we want to understand exactly where it is we're going, how it's going to all work out. Where is B? I know I'm at A and you want me to get at D, but where is B and C? And how is that going to work out for me? But Abraham, because the Lord said go, he got up and he went. And it said that he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then we know the story that he sacrificed Isaac, not understanding how his seed was going to be multiplied. Remember, how's this going to work, Lord? You want me to do this? I thought you told me that my seed was going to multiply. If I take his life, how is this going to work out? But he went anyway. And as he went, then the Lord stepped onto the scene. Where are we tonight? Where are you sitting? Are there places that the Lord has called us to that maybe we fear? Maybe we're hesitant to go? Maybe that we are drawing back from because we don't understand it all, or we're a little afraid of it, or, Lord, this isn't me. That was Moses' first response, and the Lord said, hey, I want you to lead my people. Lord, I can't speak. You know, that won't work real well. And the Lord was merciful and says, well, I'll give you a spokesperson, but I still want you to go. Sometimes we're so ready to step back and say, well, somebody else can do it better. Or I'm not as good at that as somebody else. Or, Lord, that really scares me. As soon as you give me a peace in my heart about this witnessing thing you're wanting me to do, then I'll go ahead and step out into the water. When the Lord just wants you to go ahead and step out into the water and obey and do whatever it is He asks you to do, and then He'll take care of the rest and He'll bless you if you do that. God wants us to step out. David said, is there not a cause? You remember when he was facing the giant, we all face giants in life. He came up on the scene and he took stock of it all. And he looked out there at this giant that was bigger than everybody else, that was coming out there and bothering them day and night, stealing their peace. You know, when you let the enemy just stand out there and holler at you morning and night, your peace is going to get taken away from you. And the enemy would like you to just sit there and look at it and say, wow, I sure wish I was bigger. I can't take care of that. David was smaller than Goliath, but he looked at it and he said, what's going on here? This man's defiling the Lord God of Israel. Is there not a cause? And he walks towards the giant. He ran. He ran towards Goliath. And as he went, see, as he went, the Lord went before him. And he won a great victory that day. We have a cause today that's worth fighting for. We have a cause that's worth stepping into the water before the water necessarily parts. When the Lord says, go, you can have faith and trust that if God tells you to go, He'll go with you. He's not going to leave you. I want to read a verse in Mark, the 8th chapter of Mark. This is about the blind man that they brought to Jesus, Mark 8 and 22. It said, and he came to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. You know what's different about this story than some of them? You know, sometimes people would bring the Lord those that were in need. I remember that when the Lord was, you know, in the house teaching, and they let the man down through the roof, and He healed them right then. There were other people that the Lord, right where they were, the Lord reached down and He touched them and healed them. But in this case, He led the man out of the city. He led him to a different place. What if He would have told the man, here, you need eyesight. Well, come with me. I have somewhere to take you. And the man said, why do you need to take me somewhere else? Why can't you just heal my eyes? Don't you have enough power to heal my eyes right here? I mean, can't you do that, Lord? Yeah, I can do that, but I'd like to take you outside of town. I'd like you to go to a different place than what you are right now. And then I'll touch your eyes. Did you know that sometimes the Lord wants to take us to a different place than where we are? Sometimes we pray to the Lord and we ask for help. And the Lord wants to help us, but He wants to take us somewhere first. I wonder what they talked about on their way out of town. I wonder how blessed that man felt on that walk. I wonder if his heart burned within him. I wonder what Jesus said to him on their way out. Did you know that the journey, the walk with the Lord prior to the victory of the prayer that we're asking, bringing before the Lord, sometimes that's some of the most precious time with the Lord. It's the journey. It's the walk. It's the closeness. It's the Lord walking by our side, talking to us and dealing with us and encouraging us and helping open up our minds of understanding to see some things that we didn't see before. And we wouldn't get that if we weren't willing to follow Him to a different place. Don't be discouraged if your prayer isn't answered right away. Have faith. Follow the Lord. Say, Lord, whatever Your will is, Lord, I want to follow You. I will follow You. Show me where You want me to go. Lord, if You want me to deal with this for a while or for however long, Lord, I just want to follow You. I want to trust You. Sometimes we go through some hard places. Sometimes it's those hardest places while we are yet in the battle that we look back on with some of the sweetest memories of when the Lord was willing to walk with us. Take us to a different place than what we were before. Be willing to trust the Lord in those things. When you can't see, when the way looks a little scary, when the Lord says, here, come to me. and it looks like a long ways down the road before victory might come, be willing to say, "Yes, Lord," and go. I remember when my daughter was about 2, I set her up on the refrigerator and I said, "Hey, jump down to Daddy." And if she didn't push herself off that refrigerator just about before I could blink my eyes, and she was airborne. And I was doing everything I could to scramble to catch that child before she hit the floor, because I didn't expect her to come off that refrigerator that fast. She came off with joy, happily. I mean, she was this tall, and she was sitting up here. And I, in my mind, I'm thinking, if I set her up here, it's going to look like a long ways down to the ground, and, you know, she might scare her a little bit. She wasn't scared. She was happy to jump off. And you know what? I wasn't about to drop her. Not after that kind of faith. She was trusting that I was going to catch her. She was trusting that when I said, "Hey, jump to me," that I was going to have everything in control and she didn't need to worry about anything else. And she happily jumped off. Do you think I'm going to let her fall and disappoint and let down that kind of faith? Not this boy. And not my Lord. When the Lord says, "Come." When the Lord says, "Follow me." When He says, "Come this way. You can do this. You can give this up. You can live like this. You can let go of this anxiety. You can let go of this fear that you've been carrying." And we say, "Yes, Lord. Okay, Lord, I'm going. I'm in." Do you think the Lord's going to let you down when you demonstrate that kind of faith? I don't think so. When the Lord says, "Come," He's going to be there. Amen. Believe that. Be encouraged in that. Trust in that. In 2 Chronicles, we find an instance where the Moabites and the Ammonites were coming against the children of Israel, King Jehoshaphat. And they were dismayed and they were afraid because the numbers were greater than them, or they were a stronger enemy. And the Lord said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. This is my battle. I'll fight this for you." But did He tell them to stay at home and hide behind the trees while He fought the battle for them? He didn't. He said, "You go out among them. Go out. Face them." Then He said, "Stand still and know that I am God." Something like that. And then He told them again, "But you go out and stand in front of me." You think, well, how do I stand still and go out into the battle if you're going to fight the battle? God wants us to go out there. He wants to fight the battle for us, but He wants to be out there so that He can fight the battle for us while we're there to bring us the victory. It's through Him, but He wants us to be involved. And you know what they did? That's exactly what they did. They went out trusting the Lord. And as they went, before the victory was won, they had to go face the enemy. But when they did, and they began to praise and sing, it said the Lord sent ambushments against them, and they won a great battle that day. The children of Israel, before they crossed into the land of Canaan, they had to step into the water. Before the water parted. And you know, there are a lot of good reasons they could have just stayed on the shore. Do you know who stepped into the water first? Remember who it was? It was the priest, wasn't it? And what were they carrying? They had the ark. You know, they could have stayed back there and said, "Well, Lord, we're carrying something that's yours. And we want to be sure that we don't do anything to hurt what is yours. Because this is your ark. And if we step into that water, something might happen to something that's yours. So we're going to just stay back here until you part the waters. Because we're interested in your things." You know, sometimes as people, we can do that too. We can find all the right reasons to do the wrong thing. We can say, Lord, I sure don't want to mess up here. If I witness the wrong way, I could end up turning them off, and I sure don't want to be a bad example for you. So, Lord, when you come out of heaven and give me a loud voice that tells me exactly what you want me to say, and give peace in my heart, take away all of my fear, and give me assurance that I'm not going to hurt your work, why, then I'll step into the water. Well, you won't step into the water for a long time if that's the route that you take. If God said step into the water, He's going to take care of His things. They stepped into the water and the water parted when they stepped in. After it was that they stepped in. That's what God wants us to do today. He wants us to be encouraged in that. Remember when Peter, when they had fished and didn't catch anything all night long, and the Lord came along and He said, hey, have you caught anything? No, we fished all night and we haven't caught anything. They were tired. They were ready to hang it up. And the Lord said, why don't you cast out there into the deep for a draw to fish? Peter could have said, Lord, we have. That's what He did tell him. We've been doing that all night. But He said one word. Nevertheless, even though we don't understand how possibly this could be a good decision, even though we don't understand how the result's going to be different this time than it was last time, nevertheless, at thy word, we're going to do it. And so that's what they did. Nevertheless, even though they didn't understand it, as they went. You know, Peter could have said too, Lord, is it okay if we just go into the shallow water? That way we won't have to go quite so far. And if it doesn't work out, it won't have taken so much time. We'll be able to get a little more sleep and everything will be okay. Sometimes we do that too. The Lord says, come over here, and then we go part way, and then things don't work out, and we wonder, what's wrong with the Lord? Well, He didn't hear my prayer. Well, it's because we didn't do what He said to do. He said to go out into the deep. We go into the shallow, don't catch any fish, and then we blame it on the Lord for not answering prayer and act like we followed what it was that He asked us to do. He said, go into the deep. Let's be willing when the Lord says, go out into the deep, go into the deep. Whether you understand it or not, they caught so many fish, their boat started to sink. And we're still reading about it. The Lord wants us to have testimonies so that we can be included with these heroes of faith. So that we too can say, I went in trust. I went in with obedience. I went with expectation. And as I went, the Lord delivered. The Scripture says, lean not unto thine own understanding. The Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let the other things come second. Without faith, it says it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's faith. God's calling us to a walk of faith. And He wants us to be willing to step into the water. He wants us to be willing to go when He says go. And if we do, He'll meet us. And I feel like sometimes we as His people, we live beneath the privileges that God has for us. I want to repeat that. I believe He has victory for us that we leave on the table because we're fearful to step out into the water. And He's there all the time, ready to meet us, ready to deliver for us, ready to be our God, wants us to be called His people because we're willing to follow. So wherever you're at this morning, if there are places in your life that you are drawing back, you have been afraid to let go of, things that seem like mountains to you, God wants you to step into the water. Step in with faith. And be like Peter and say, Lord, I don't understand how this is going to work. Lord, this just looks bigger than I, but nevertheless, I'll go. And I believe that if we do that, that we'll have some more testimonies that we can encourage ourselves and others with and say, as I went, the Lord delivered. Let's be encouraged in the Lord this morning. Amen.